sit right there where you sit. Her name is Haley. Haley Janke was her name, Haley Mrazek now, and got to be an add-on in Sarepta. This church has been an incredible support to Haley and myself for years and years and years. When we were younger and just had one little baby, God called us to move to Eastern Europe to begin working with orphan and abandoned children. And this church jumped in to help with that and has helped support orphans in Romania. And one girl that you helped support, Alexandra, who came to us after her mother was electrocuted and her father abandoned her and her brother. Today she's married, loves the Lord, involved in her local church. She's a miracle. And I just want to say thank you again for your support for children, orphan, abandoned children in Eastern Europe for many, many years now. God's done some incredible things in their lives. Thank you. Haley and I have shifted our focus. We, after many years focusing on Father's House, we're now focused on church planting, two churches in specific in a village where we live called Lunca. It's still horse carts. It's really back in time village, and also in a city, a very polluted city, a city that they say there's no hope for Copșa Mică, a city in Romania. And we're seeing God do amazing things there. And again, Zion is being part of helping support that work, and we want to say thank you. As I go back in my mind in Lunca, I remember our center where we have kids meeting and youth meetings. I remember Jim Edwards and the team coming over to help build that structure, New Sarepta. And Harvey and Marge, I remember you punching a window through in a kitchen so we could have proper light in there. We had four camps this summer in Lunca. And we used that kitchen, you couldn't believe, cooking for how many meals we did. And children and youth coming to know Christ this summer gave their lives to the Lord. Praise the Lord for that. And then when we were able to buy the old school in our village, another team came, and Adolf and Maria and Mike and Melora and encouraged us and drywalled. And God is so good. We just want to say thank you for standing with us and praying for these villages and this city. We're still seeing such an openness to the gospel and God changing people's lives. I'd like to just show you a few pictures if we can. Did that PowerPoint work? You've got an amazing technical crew in the back here. You remember this year you took a special offering, as you have for year after year after year. Bless Kim Anger, who started and said, we want to do something at Christmas for those that have way less. And here you see a picture of our children in the village or the city called Copșa Mică. It was named Europe's most polluted city in 2006 by the BBC. And in this city, there is just poverty and brokenness. God is doing an incredible work. In our church there, we have so many junior high kids. More than half the church are junior high kids. We love it. It's a challenge. And as a matter of fact, as you prayed for us, good news, we have so many kids that when it's time for children's church or for them to go out to their Sunday school program, we didn't have room for them anymore. We have just a little room in a barn. And so I had to ask our adults, because we're less than our junior high kids, I had to ask our adults and say, would you be okay with us going out to the barn and letting them have the big sanctuary? It's just a couple rooms in a house. And our adults just said, yes, we believe we're called to pray for this young generation, and God through them is going to change Copșa Mică. So when it's time for children's church, the adults leave in Copșa Mică because there's so many kids and youth, and we let them stay. And thank you for your prayers. God's working. But when we were contacted this year by Maria, bless you, Maria, and as a church, one of the projects we shared with you was our kids, many of them are very, very poor. Could we put together a little bag full of fruit and some food for each of them to give them at Christmas time? Well, here you can see this was our Christmas program. The kids prepared for a number of weeks to share the story of Jesus' birth and that God sent Messiah. We invited a pile of parents. You can see here our room. It was so full. There were people standing back in the hall. The kids were so excited to share this story. If we go one more picture forward, and you can't even see. Sorry, this is just kind of half of the other. There were so many parents, we couldn't even fit them all in. They were kind of looking through the door any way they could, and they heard the gospel message. Simona, who's one of our gypsy women who loves the Lord, that microphone, that was from you. We didn't have a sound system. Our sound system was yell. But this church helped provide a sound system. And here the church was full. We'll just go to the next picture if that's okay. Here's my wife, Haley. How many of you know Haley? You know, many of you know Haley. I hope sometimes she can come back and share with you. Here she's preparing the bags for the kids. This is some of the fruit that you helped buy for the kids. Many kids get no fruit in wintertime. And it's amazing when apples in the summer start to just get green and small, and they're just really sour, and they give you diarrhea. The kids are so desperate for food. They just go and just take our apples because they don't get a lot of fruit. So they would bless the fruit, oranges and bananas and some other food we put in the basket or the bags. You can see here, so these are some of the bags. We were able to do over 100 bags for children, both in Kopshamika and Lunka. One more picture. And here you can see another one of our volunteers in the church, Jenny, giving a bag to one of the children. There's so many miracle stories happening there, but we just want to say thank you at Christmas for thinking of beyond Sarepta, beyond your families, and investing God's love in another part of the world. And it made a big difference, and it's making a big difference for the work of the gospel. Thank you. Thank you for that. And greetings from both churches in Kopshamika and Lunka, as well as from Haley and my family. Had a great time, opportunity to meet with Pastor Mitch this week, and he just encouraged me. We met at Tim Hortons, and at the end he said, "Can I pray for you?" And so right there at Tim Hortons, we had a great prayer time, and he asked me if I would share from God's word this morning. So I've been praying and saying, "God, help me give what do you want to communicate to the church in New Sarepta?" We've been gone so long that we're kind of just out of a lot of things that are happening in Canada. Canada has changed so much. Edmonton has changed so much. And we come back sometimes, and even though we sound Canadian, it's just like, wow, what's going on? What's going on in the country that we left over 15 years ago? So much has changed. One of the things that I know is there's so many Tim Hortons. Like everywhere there's Tim Hortons. And sometimes when you're away, you don't realize there's things that happen in the culture. So one thing, when I was young, I didn't drink coffee. No coffee. So I never went to Tim Hortons. So a while back, I came back to Canada and I was fighting jet lag. And I said, I got to just get a coffee to keep me awake today. So I go through the drive-thru to Tim Hortons. And I ask for coffee. And the lady says, "Will that be double-double?" So I thought, this lady's got a stuttering problem, you know, double down. And not only that, she wants to sell me two coffees. But you don't know that, right? Double double. Like, and if no one explains it to you, you don't know what a double double is. I think she's got a stuttering problem to sell me two coffees. So I just say, "No, I just want one. One." And then she says, "Well, single single?" She's got a stuttering problem. So I thought maybe I'd try and talk her own language, and maybe she'd understand. I say, "I just want one coffee." Well, it's hard being away, and you come back and things are changing, but there's some things that never change. God's eternal truth never changes. And there's no such thing as old and modern with God, because what he says is true was true for Israel 2,000 years ago and is true for Canada today. Praise God that some things never change. And so today we want to talk about standing in a society, in a country that's changing. And I'd like us to read some verses from Ephesians, if we could do that. If you have your Bibles, I'd like to invite you to open to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, and we'll read from verse 10 through to verse 17. And if we can do it Romanian style, Romania, we stand when we read God's word. It just kind of makes us a little more awake and allows us to honor God's word. So could I invite you to stand and we'll just read these verses together. Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 10. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might." Verse 11, "Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand," and that's a key word we're going to talk more about, stand firm against the schemes of the devil. "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against powers, against the world forces of their darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day," or "stand in the evil day," some translations say, "and having done everything to stand firm." We meet the word stand here again. We'll talk more about that. "Stand firm," verse 14 says, "having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness," verse 15, "and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace." Verse 16, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the fiery arrows of the evil one. And verse 17 will be the last verse that we read. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Can we just pray for a moment? God, we thank you that you are here and present this morning in New Sarepta, because you love New Sarepta so much. Oh, the town you love, but it's really the people that you love. And when Jesus in the garden said, not my will, but thy will be done, he was thinking about us in New Sarepta. Thank you for the great, great love of God, your great, great love that we sang about this morning. And God, we want to connect with you, and we want you to connect with us in a real way this morning. And we pray that we can walk out of here not just with a few ideas bouncing around in our heads, but with real change that your Holy Spirit can work in our hearts. Because we have a mission, God. Our days are with great purpose here on earth. That's why you left us here. That's why you're delaying your coming. And I pray that you would waken us and fill us with your love. Fill us with your strength, God, to stand in these evil days. And we thank you that you're here and wanting to speak to us this morning. In the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, thank you. Amen. You can be seated. The name of the message this morning, I entitled it, Stand Boots On. And what I'd like to talk about this morning is one of the pieces of the armor. We call it the spiritual armor that probably is the least preached on piece of the armor. We often talk about the sword of the Spirit. That's a good one. How about the helmet of salvation? But I'd like to talk about what Scripture says is the sandals, or if we can make a more modern version, the boots. We know soldiers back in Jesus' day wore more a sandal type of shoe on their feet. But we know in today's modern military that soldiers wear boots. And so the message today is called Stand Boots On. And we're just going to focus in on this one piece of the armor that I believe is so important. So important. Just for a moment, I'd like to take a second and kind of look at Canada from across the ocean. We talked about there's lots of change, lots of things happening here. And countries like where we live, Romania, are starting to look across and they hear in the news and they say, what's going on? The people will come up to me and say, Europeans will come up to me and say, what's going on in Canada? What's going on? What's the deal about marijuana? Right? What's the deal? Even Europe's most liberal country, one, regarding marijuana and drugs, the Netherlands or Holland, has in recent years restricted its use and restricted, you can't just go out and buy it. It can only be consumed in certain coffee bars and places because they recognize there's some real issues with this drug and what the effect it's having on its population. People come and ask him, what's going on? You can just buy it like you can coffee? What's going on in Canada? How could your prime minister do something like that? When I was in high school, the guys that were trying to deal drugs would go out and hide and try and do their stuff in the parking lot so they wouldn't get caught and end up in jail. Now you can just go across the street and buy it. What's going on? Europe looks across and says, now Canada has three genders, three sexes in passports. They can't even enter that into their system because it only gives you two options in Europe, male or female. What's going on with your Canadian passports? What's going on with your Canadian birth certificates? Maybe you didn't hear, but the Supreme Court recently ruled in Newfoundland that three parents could be entered on to a birth certificate. It was a result of two guys living with a girl who had a baby. And so now they're reprinting birth certificates here in Canada with three parents. We know biologically that's impossible. How is Europe even going to process birth certificates like that? So people come and ask me, what's going on in Canada? What's happening? How are people thinking like this? What's happening in Canada? What's going on? And the next thing, maybe you didn't hear, but the loonie is losing its loon. Did you hear that? They're taking the loon off the loonie this year, and the new one's coming out and celebrating gay rights. It's coming out. That's going to be on our money. You have been born in a war zone. We read today that in verse 13 talks about standing in the evil day. If there's ever been a day in Canada that we could call the evil day, it's today. It's today. We've never seen anything like this. There's never been a country in the history of the world that's seen anything like this, anything like what's going on in Canada. And Africa looks at Canada and says, how can you do that? Just even nature teaches us some things. And I realize that there's some people struggling, and God loves people that are struggling with these issues. So we're not here with a hate message. We're here with a love message. But we're also here with a truth message. Because God loves people so much that he wants to share truth. We are born in a war zone. And we read in Ephesians today that our wrestle is not with flesh and blood, but with powers and principalities. And guess what? Satan, our enemy, has found weakness. He's found weakness in our prime minister. And he's been able to profit through that and bring things into Canada that he knows will destroy this country. He's been able to find weakness in government. He's been able to find, and that's what the enemy does. He looks for weakness and gets in and uses and manipulates that weakness. And we know that the Bible says that Satan just has three agendas: to kill, steal, and destroy. But here's the big problem in Canada. We feel like everything's okay. Now get this. In Romania, we're celebrating 30 years this year, 30 years since the communists were taken down. 30 years. It's a big year. 30 years ago, there was communism. It was a totalitarian system, a government that absolutely had control over people's lives. 30 years we're celebrating. This is interesting, but the country's still a mess. The country's still a mess. In Europe, the European Union now is forcing each country to take refugees from the big refugee crisis. Angela Merkel in Germany, every country has to take refugees. So finally, Romania said, okay, we'll take some. So they boarded two buses, they filled two buses in Austria and started to send them off to Romania. The foreign minister of foreign affairs in Romania was in a big delegation, just waited on the side of the Romanian side of the border to receive these two buses of these migrants that have come into Europe. You know what happened? Along the way, at one of the bus stops, they somehow find out where they're taking them. They're taking them to Romania. They all ran away. The buses crossed the border. They were both empty. It was a big shame for Romania. No one wanted to come. They didn't want to come to Romania, right? Because there's not as much moolah for them there. I don't know, the money. They didn't come. There was two empty buses. It was a big shame. But guess what? 30 years, Romania's still a mess. We're still paying for the mistakes that leadership made 30 years ago and 40 years ago and 50 years ago. We're still living off that. But can I share with you, if that's possible, if 30 years later a country can still be struggling and backwards and paying for the sins of their parents, is it possible that the opposite is true? And the opposite would be this. Could it be that the blessing that we're living on in Canada is the blessing that comes from our parents and grandparents, from generations that did have a basic fear from God, that understood the Ten Commandments, that understood that family is the cornerstone of society? And when you start tinkering with that, you're tinkering with the very fabric of society. Could it be that life is good in Alberta in 2019 because grandma and grandpa worked hard and lived their lives with principles that allowed Alberta to be built up? So maybe we're not as good as we think we are in 2019. And Canada is not as smart as it thinks it is. Maybe we're just living off the blessing of past generations, just like Romania is living off the curse or the bad decisions of past generations. But in the midst of all of this, we stand with the question, who do we need to be? What do we need to do in 2019? I repeat, we've been born into a war zone. But praise God that we aren't without equipment. That's the good news. we are not without equipment. And we're going to talk about, very quickly, our feet being shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. First of all, if you allow me to refer to the boots, the spiritual boots. What are the spiritual boots that God gives us? Very quickly, verse 15 tells us that it's the preparation of the gospel of peace. Our boots, our equipment is the gospel. Now, the word gospel we know comes from the word evangelium, which means good news. Now, do you ever think about this? That if everything is good, there's no place for good news, right? So if I have good health and someone says, you're healthy, that's not good news because I already know I'm healthy, right? If everything's good, there's no place for good news because all the news is good, right? So it's nothing special. The only time good news is good news is when there's also bad news, right? When there's also things that aren't happening that aren't good, then good news is good news. Because if everything's good, there's no such thing as good news because it's all good news. Does that make sense? Maybe. Right? So the good news is the gospel in the midst of this world. The good news is Jesus Christ. The bad news is this, is that sin is fatal. Sin is fatal. It separated us from God. And man is trying to figure out things without God, and we just see countries struggling, and we see other countries doing incredibly well as they begin to embrace. Uganda is an amazing country. If you want to read about a country that's embracing godly principles and God's just raising up out of the dust of Africa, read a little bit about Uganda and what's happening in Uganda. But the good news is only good when there's bad news. Sin is fatal. And the thing that we need to realize is that we need God to forgive us and change us. Our very state needs changing. The problem is sometimes is we have the idea that we're sinners because we sin, right? And we come to God and we ask Him, God, would you forgive me because I did this and this and this? But the thing we need to get is that we're not only sinners because we sin, we're sinners because we are sinners. That's who we are. A plum tree, right? Just think about a plum tree for a second. A plum tree is a plum tree because it's a plum tree, not just because it produces plums, right? Whether there's plums on it or not, it's still a plum tree, right? And we are sinners. If the devil died today, we would still sin. Because in our nature, we are sinners. So when we come to God, the story, the message, the good news is this, is that we can come to God and not only ask Him forgiveness for the things we did, but we need to ask Him forgiveness for who we are. And that's why Scripture says that if any man, any woman, any young person is in Christ, guess what? We become a new creation. It's not like God just comes and knocks the plums off of us if the plums were sin, right? Okay, no more plums on you, right? Because guess what's going to happen? A few weeks later, there'll be more plums, right? Because we're plum trees. We're sinners. What do sinners do? Is we sin. But the good news of the gospel is that God comes and He forgives us, but He only doesn't only forgive us. He washes us. He changes us. He puts His nature in us. That's the good news. So the good news helps us discern between what is good and what is sin. And so our shoes essentially are the boots that we wear. The gospel allows us to go out in the world and figure, this is God and this is not God. This is what God wants and this is not what God wants. Praise God. So the gospel is not just something I believed when one day I gave my life to Christ. The gospel is something that we need to wear every day because the gospel shows us the difference between light and darkness. The gospel is something that is active. That's why Paul writes that our armor, our boots, are the preparation of the gospel of peace. The gospel divides. It shows us light and darkness. It shows us life and death. So that's why we need the boots on. We need the gospel on. Now the next thing that we need to look at. The first thing is the boots that we wear are the gospel, the preparation of the gospel of peace. The second thing is how do the boots help us? It says beautifully in verse 13 here that it says, therefore take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist the devil in the evil day, and having done everything, stand. Stand. When a soldier is standing, what are they doing? They're holding ground. Right? They're holding ground. Sometimes in battle, our call is to hold ground. We're not advancing. We're holding ground. And a great call of the church in Canada in 2019 is we need to hold ground. We need to hold God's godly ground. But here's the deal. If we haven't got boots on, what happens if you run out and you haven't got... You ever do that? You run out barefoot in the spring, especially when you haven't been running, what's the first rock? Ow. Yeah? You know, oh, man, this, you know, it starts to hurt, right, if you just run out with your bare feet. And if your feet are hurting, guess what we do? We start to sit down, right, because it's easier. We don't want to walk on rough surfaces. Can you imagine an army fighting? Can you imagine the Navy SEALs going into combat, the U.S. Navy SEALs, or our joint task force with all the equipment but bare feet? You know, how far? What are they going to accomplish, right? So here's what happens when we don't have our boots on as a church, when we don't believe the gospel, when we don't let it divide between light and darkness and truth and lies, guess what happens? The church starts to sit down. No boots on. And it's very sad to see in Canada, the little bit that I can see is many places the church is sitting down. We're not dealing with the issues that God is calling us to stand up for. We stand in love always. God loves every group, every. He loves L, he loves G, he loves B, he loves T and Q and all those letters and what they mean. He loves all of them. And he loves them so much that he wants to embrace them with truth to help them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But we need to stand. And if our boots aren't on, we're going to be sitting. And there's many churches, sadly, that are sitting in the midst of the battle. Do you know when the sad part is when we start sitting, we start listening to other voices. President Jimmy Carter, former president of the United States, just came out a couple weeks ago. And he said, oh, it's okay. A family can be two men. A family can be two women. Where is the church that's standing and saying, thus saith the Lord? And I don't care what Jimmy Carter says. The Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, God eternal, says this. And that's what my life is built on. Jimmy Carter's voice is nothing. He is only a man, a sinful man. Our base, our truth, our light is the Word of God. There's so many competing voices out there. If we're not standing on this, we're going to get blown to the left. We're going to get blown to the right. And we'll end up just a confused church without impact. Very quickly, the word for sin in Hebrew is the word chet. And it's actually an archery term. It means missing the target. So when you say chet, it's the idea that I've missed the mark. I've missed the target. Now here's what happens. Whenever we people embrace sin, chet, we miss the mark. Now, three things happen when we miss the mark, when we miss God's mark, God's desire for us as people. Number one is you can lose the arrow, right? Have you ever done archery? Have you ever shot? I remember we used to set up bows and we put them in trees. And boy, when you'd miss, and sometimes you'd never find that arrow again. You miss the mark. Do you know what happens when two men fall in love and think they make a family? Two families just die. And I've had a chance to share with some people that struggle with and said, you know what? You would be such a great father. And Satan just wants to rip that off. He doesn't want you to get there. You'd be such a great father. You see, when we miss God's mark, we lose something. We always lose something. And that's why God hates sin, because he knows we're losing out. We're losing out on what he planned and destined for us. The second thing that can happen is when we don't hit the mark, the arrow can get broken, right? You can smash the arrow. Those of you that are hunters know that if you hit a rock or something with an arrow, you can bend the head, and that arrow will never fly again. So when we miss God's mark, I'll give you another example of chet. The current statistic in Canada is that 40% of people that go through transgender surgery will go on and attempt suicide. 40%. That's a statistic that should make us weep. That should make us weep. The surgery's not doing it for them. Something's breaking their heart. Something's still broken inside. They're looking, they're hoping that's going to fulfill their life and make them feel great. But God knows that when we miss his mark for our lives, guess what happened? Something can break. And there are many broken people looking for fulfillment in the wrong place. And only God can give it to them. The last thing that can happen to an arrow when we miss a mark is that we can hit something we don't want to hit. I remember my dad, I made a slingshot. Now, this was in Sunday school days, and I remember one day our teacher got us motivated. He taught us David and Goliath and the whole thing, and I came home and said, I got to make a slingshot like David. So I made a slingshot out of leather. We were living on a little farm west of Stony Plain, and I put a rock in it, went out, and I was going to be David. But there was no Goliath, so I was just going to send it out over our pasture. But I was up by the house, so I get this thing just really wound up, and I let it go. But instead of going forward, the rock goes backwards and smashes my dad's windshield. Ooh, out of the house came Goliath. Yeah, that was a big mistake. Big mistake. Anyway, we got that solved, and I had to work a long time to pay for that windshield. Anyway, but what happens? The arrow can break. The arrow can break. Justin Trudeau doesn't convince me one little bit that it's going to be okay with marijuana. And I'll tell you why. Because someone I love dearly, the last 7 years, hasn't been able to hold down a job. And their life is messed up big time. You know why? Because they can't live without marijuana. And the moment they get a little stressed, they got to go out and smoke a joint. Another friend of mine, father, three sons, started using marijuana just to be calm after stress and work and so on. And it became sort of the thing that I just need it. It helps me be a calm and a better father. It was all okay till he comes home and found out his oldest son is now smoking joints. And he realized there's a big problem in my family. There's a big problem in my family. You see, when we miss God's mark, something will always break. Or we'll end up hitting something or hurting something that we never intended to shoot at or never intended to be hurt. So God's call to us as the body of Christ is to stand and hold ground. We got to hold the ground. That's part of a battle. Sometimes we get to advance, but sometimes our call is to hold ground and hold up God's truth. And that's the call of you believers here in Canada, to stand up and hold ground, even if it's not popular, even if you're the only one, even if you've persecuted for it. Are you willing to hold God's ground? But we only can do that if we have our boots on, if we understand that the gospel is truth, the gospel is God's plan, the gospel is God's eternal truth. And then the last thing, I'd like to just read one verse from John, and this will be my last point, is that in the midst of everything that's happening, wherever there's lies, wherever there's sin, it'll be followed up by brokenness. And then something happens, and then something begins to happen. Communist Romania thought they were the greatest country on the face of the earth. Shortly before the revolution, they came this close to paying off their debt, to become the only country on the face of the planet that had no national debt. The dictator, but the people had no food. They thought they were something great, and then it all collapsed. And there's a warning for Canada. We can think that we're something great. But when we turn in the face of God and flaunt our sin and say, God, you don't know what you're talking about, and we're rewriting the eternal principles, we can expect that our feet will be taken out from under us. John 1:5, I'll read verse 4 and 5, and this is our promise. If we're willing to put the boots on and we're willing to stand, it's talking about Jesus. In him, Jesus was life, and the life was the light of mankind. In verse 5, this is it. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not suppressed it. Hallelujah. If we're willing to put on our boots and stand, we will remain standing. Let the devil do his best. He wasn't able to knock off Jesus, the Son of God. And if the Son of God is in you and in me, living in us by the Holy Spirit, then we will remain standing. And not only standing, but we will begin to gain ground for the kingdom of God. Because the casualties of sin will start coming and saying, what did we do wrong? Where did we go wrong? Where did we miss it? And there'll be incredible opportunities for the gospel. And as I went in to Romania for the first time in 1991, I saw something incredible. In front of the airport in Bucharest, the capital city, there used to be a statue of John Lennon, the father, one of the fathers of communism and atheism. And you know what they did? after years and decades of that statue being there and that country lauding itself, they knocked it over and they put a cross in its place. And one day, all this sin and the foolishness that we in Canada are saying is the new way, the modern way, the good way, the okay way, one day it's going to fall over and there'll be a cross in its place, because the only truth that lasts is the truth of Jesus Christ. I appreciated so much Pastor Mitch. I sat down at Tim Hortons and I asked him, Pastor, how is it to pastor in Canada in the midst of everything that's going on? And you know, he didn't complain. He didn't start crying and say, ooh. He said, we're looking for opportunities for the gospel. Oh, Mitch, you bless my heart. Hallelujah. And there's opportunities. There's kids that show up here every morning for high school before they go to school. That's missions. You got Adventure Club. The school empties and most of them come over here. That's missions. That's what we're trying to do in Romania. That's missions. We're trying to get the kids from the school to come and hear the gospel of Christ. It's happening right here. This is missions. Praise God. Are you part of it? Are your boots on? Are you standing? Wow, there's some exciting things happening in this community. When I hear, I don't know, 50, 60 kids come to Adventure Club, most of them from unsafe families, that sounds like missions to me. That's exactly what we're trying to do. We get about 50 or 60 kids coming to the church in Kopchamika from the school. That's the same thing. Praise God. God's at work. Oh, there's opportunities for the gospel, because the casualties of sin will turn people either away from God further or to the light. We had, just share with you a quick story. A taxi driver, bad guy, did jail time, big, messed up life, started coming to church, and then in August we had a wedding. One of his cousins got married, married a beautiful girl who loves Jesus from our church. And he came to the wedding, and this big guy, bad dude, he had tears in his eyes. And he came up to me and he said, I'm never going to get this unless my life changes. And last fall, he gave his life to the Lord. His name is Jonathan. He got baptized on the 18th of November. And you know what? When we come to God and we recognize our sinful state, that's repentance. We don't use that word very much. Do you want Jesus in your life? But that happens when we repent, when we come to him and say, I am a sinner. I want you to change me, Jesus. Not just take away the sin. I want you to change who I am. I want you to come in and fill my life. That's salvation. Guess what happens? Jonathan, incredible. I asked him a few weeks later, how's business? Not making as much as I used to. Well, what's going on? Guess what? He says, I used to take people an hour and a half. Can you imagine an hour and a half taxi ride? That letter meter's going ding, 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 right? Up to prostitutes in a city called Cluj. I won't do that anymore. But I try meet with them for coffee to tell them about Christ. Really? Really? You lost your best clients for Jesus? Yeah, because I don't want that anymore. And then I walk into his house one day to do Bible study. And I said, where were you today? He said, I went down to the cable place. I told the lady to cut off my cable for the cable TV. I said, really? She wouldn't believe me. He says, I had to tell her three times. She says, everyone needs cable. He says, I don't. And as a matter of fact, he says, there's my TV. Take it. The church can use it for a kids' program or whatever, because I don't want to go back to where I came from. Wow, God's power. Hallelujah. There's a changed life. A guy that did jail time. A guy that was doing prostitute runs. A guy that was driving another place to pick up drugs. God's changing his life, but he realized that it was a wreck. His life was going to be a wreck without Jesus. So we have this incredible hope, and the decisions that Canada's making is going to bring many casualties, and we need to be ready. But if we're not standing, we won't be ready. If we're sitting, if our boots aren't on, we won't be ready to tell people about the hope that is within us. And that's gain. If we stand today, tomorrow we'll be gaining for the gospel. But it starts with standing and holding the ground, like Ephesians says. There's moments where we're not going to gain anything. Our job is just to stand and be a light. But praise God, the darkness is not going to overcome the light. Our job is just to stand and say, hope. I like I said to you before, the gay guy that I'm talking to, I said, you have the potential of being an incredible father. You know why? Because you're a caring person. And do you think you're going to be happy one day in a senior's home when you and your other man sit there on a bench and you watch as others have their kids come? You know the happiest people in seniors' homes? My parents, the happiest people are the ones their kids come visit them and their grandkids come visit. Those are the happy ones. The others sit there like sour lemons. No one comes to see me. Huh? Do you think you're going to be happy as the two of you sit there and see other people with kids coming and visiting them, other people with grandkids coming and bringing flowers and cards and grandma and grandpa, it's so good to see you as you sit there. You see, Satan wants to rip off something in you. He wants to steal something, but God wants to give you what's good. Are you willing to believe God for that? I'd like to close, and I appreciate you, your graciousness with the time. I'd like to close with one more thing. Last fall, I had the opportunity to be in Germany very briefly. Romania's population is dropping by the day. After Syria, Romania is number two for immigration, people leaving the country. Can you believe that? The millions of Romanians have been leaving to go to other countries for a better life. So I had an opportunity to be in a city called Straubing in Germany and speak briefly at a Romanian church in Straubing, Germany. And the Lord just put this on my heart, and I looked at them and I said, this is amazing to be in a room, and there was about 100 of them. It's amazing to be here today in Straubing, Germany, in a room with 100 Romanian missionaries to Germany. 100 Romanian missionaries to Germany. And guess what? I looked at them, and they were all kind of looking at me like, huh? Duh? The look was, Peter, you don't understand. We came here to get a job in the factory, and there's a big BMW factory in there. Can I get a job in a BMW factory? I put together cables, and the pay is way better than... I'm a factory worker here, Peter. Or, you know, I came here to be close to my kids because my kids moved here, and I wanted to come here, and, you know, I'm a janitor in the local school. That's kind of why we came to Germany. Or we came here because the healthcare system is better, Peter. You need to understand. That's why we're here, because the hospital... Do you know what? It was so sad they didn't get it. Sure, you work at the BMW factory. Sure, you clean the school. Sure, you're there for your kids or the hospital system's better. But why are you here? You are here to be salt and light in Germany to share Jesus Christ. See, there's three kinds of missionaries. And people look at me and say, you're a missionary. Why? Because I get in an airplane, I go to... I'm just from Sarepta, right? And one thing I realize about missions is that when you get off the plane in the country that you go to, you're still the same person. Do you know what I mean? And so if you scratch your head all the time, you'll scratch your head all the time over there. Right? If you're impatient here, you're going to be impatient over there. Right? You're still the same. It's Christ in us. And we're called, there's three kinds of missionaries. There's the utter ends of the earth kind of missionaries, that those people go far away places like Andrew and Dale. Bless them. Hallelujah. And Nepal. And then there's missionaries that kind of leave their home area. They don't go very far, right? They may drive to another city or another town or another area, Judea and Samaria. But then there's Jerusalem missionaries, Acts 1:8. And when we got the promise of the power of the Holy Spirit, guess what? It says, you'll be my witnesses first of all in Jerusalem, at home, right? Three types of missionaries. I'm the airplane missionary. You're the walk on your feet or drive your truck missionaries here at home. And just like I could say to those Romanians in Straubing, Germany, it's incredible to be in a room with 100 missionaries to Romania or missionaries to Germany. I can say it's incredible to be in New Sarepta with 80 or 90 missionaries to Canada. Woo! Because we're all missionaries. If we got our boots on. If we got our boots on. And so the challenge I'd like to leave with you, and we've got an incredible song that's coming up, and we're going to close with that song. But if you have felt God touching you today and understanding, maybe our boots haven't been on. Maybe we haven't been believing the gospel. Maybe we haven't been convinced. Maybe Jimmy Carter or Justin Trudeau or someone else has started to convince us that maybe God's truth isn't God's truth. Or maybe it's old. Or maybe it's not relevant. No, God's truth is always true, will always be true. It's always the best. And anything else will create casualties sooner or later. That's the deceit of sin. We think we're good in Canada, but I would propose to you that we're living off the blessing of 30 years ago and 40 years ago and 50 years ago. And one day that blessing's going to run out, and then we're going to realize we're not so good. Where did we go wrong? But praise God that today we can have that truth. God's calling us to put our boots on. That's such an important piece of the equipment. And stand up and stand in Christ's name. Stand in His love. We always proclaim the truth in love. But we proclaim the truth because it's true. And our truth is Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ that divides light from darkness, sin from righteousness, truth from lies. Are our boots on? Are our boots on? Stand, church. Put your boots on. And you will prevail because Christ in you is the hope of glory. And this country desperately needs 80 or 90 missionaries in New Sarepta to be light and salt and share the truth of Christ. in the midst of the most evil day we have seen yet, ever with our eyes in the history of this country. Praise God that there's an answer. Praise God that there's light and hope. His name is Jesus Christ. Put on your boots, stand up in his name, and you will prevail. And you will be light and salt in Canada. Oh, Canada. In Canada today. Your call, my call, is to be a missionary. Period. May the Lord help us do that. I'll invite the worship team to come up and sing. And I'd like to just throw out a challenge, Pastor Mitch, if that's okay. If God has touched your heart this morning, and you would like to respond and say, I recognize it. My boots have been off sometimes. Or I'm struggling with putting them on. Or I'm afraid to put them on. And you say, God, help me this morning. I want to put on my boots. And I want to stand. I want to stand in the power of the Holy Spirit. I just want to invite you to come here and stand in front. I'm not going to ask you to do anything else. But if God has touched you this morning and you say, boots on, that's for me. And you come here this morning, and I'd like to pray for you right after we finish this song, if that's all right. Bless you, team. Let's stand and sing.
Today.